If you want to turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians and chapter 2. And that's page number 1187 in the Church Bible. And in the larger print, it's 1836. We'll be looking at chapter 2, verses 17 to chapter 3. Verse 13. But, brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan blocked our way. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith, for I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you, and that our labors might have been in vain. But Timothy has just now come to us from you, and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us, and that you long to see us just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. This is God's word. This evening, I want to start off with a question. The question is, as brothers and sisters in Christ, the body of Christ, how do we love one another? The world tells us that loving one another can mean saying thank you to one another, expressing interest in each other, doing them a favor or borrowing something, spending time with each other. While they are kind things to do, Christian love goes much deeper. A love for brothers and sisters in Christ means something much more. The theme of this passage this evening is loving one another means helping one another be ready for Christ's return. Loving one another means helping one another be ready for Christ's return. That is the theme of this passage this evening. So let's look into these words and see how we get that from the Apostle Paul's letter. So Paul starts off in verses 17 to 20. And I've named this Paul's Great Longing, verses 17 to 20. He starts off with a but in verse 17. So it forces us to ask, what is Paul contrasting? And it guides us to look into the context. And Paul is simply telling us that although the Jews have drove him away out of the city and he's separate from the Thessalonians, he's still longing to see them. Just because Paul, in chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, has been taken away from them, it doesn't mean he's forgotten them. In fact, Paul opens a passage we are looking at tonight with his great longing to see the Thessalonians. Look down at verses 17 to 18. But brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you, for we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did, again and again, but Satan blocked our way. Does Paul actually want to see these people or not? It's pretty clear that he's desperate to see them. He says, we were orphaned by being separated from them. This is parent and child language. The Thessalonians are like Paul's children. Though they are separate in person, they aren't out of Paul's thoughts. He still has them in his mind. Paul says, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you again and again. Paul has this great longing to see them. He makes every effort, but Satan has blocked their way. Back in March 2020, we were all just living as normal. We were working, we were participating in our hobbies. We were seeing family, friends, and meeting as a church. Life was normal, we were just doing what we've always done. But suddenly on March the 23rd, we were placed into lockdown. We could no longer live as normal, and work was different. We could no longer do many of our hobbies, and we weren't able to see family, friends, or meet as a church anymore. And after about a week or two, we started to get where we wanted things just back to normal. We wanted to see people again. We wanted to see our friends and our family. We were wanting to meet together as a church again, but we couldn't. We weren't allowed to do what we'd always done. We longed for normality. And in a similar way, Paul feels that longing. His heart's desire is to be able to see these new Christians again, but he can't. But why does Paul want to see these new Christians? We find that out in verses 19 to 20. Paul says, for what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. What is Paul saying here? Paul's hope, joy, or crown, what's that about? He says, in which we will glory in. This brings us some questions. Is Paul boasting in his ministry? He's proud of himself because these Thessalonians have been saved through his preaching. Therefore, Paul wants them to continue so he'll feel good when Jesus returns. Is that what Paul is saying? No, Paul is looking to the future. He's looking to a future day when Christians will no longer be separated. But notice what his main part of the future is about. It's about the Thessalonians being Paul's glory and joy when Jesus returns. Paul is basically saying that if he was to see the Thessalonians safe with Jesus on the last day, that will be everything to Paul. Paul would be overjoyed to see these Thessalonians with Jesus in the end. That's the main thing. Although they are separate now in person, the main priority is that on the last day they are together with Jesus and will be never separated. That's Paul's great longing. It's almost like Paul has two desires and they link together. Paul's desire is like a plant. A plant has leaves and a stem. But the main part of the plant is the roots. And we see the plant's leaves and stem, but we don't see the roots. And in this passage, we can easily miss or not understand the root of Paul's desire. Paul has an intense longing to see these Thessalonians, but his intense longing is rooted in his desire to see them safe in the arms of Jesus. His desire to see them now in person is built on that desire to see them saved in the end. But that should raise some more questions within us. The question we've got to ask ourselves is, if Paul's great desire is to see the Thessalonians ready for Christ's return on the last day, what is he going to do to assist that when he sees them now? How is Paul going to help them be ready for Jesus' return? And we find that out in verses 1 to 9 of chapter 3. Paul's great priority, verses 1 to 9. Paul was banished from the city because of the uproar he caused regarding the Jews when he preached the gospel. Therefore, he couldn't go back to the Thessalonians, which leads Paul to send Timothy, as we see in verse 2. But before that, Paul again says in verse 1, when we could bear it no longer, Paul again building on his strong desire to see these Thessalonians. Paul was willing to be separated from Timothy so that Timothy could go across to the Thessalonians. But what was Paul's priority in sending Timothy? Look at the end of verses 2 and 3. He sent Timothy to strengthen and encourage you in your faith so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. Paul sends Timothy to encourage them in the faith. He does this because the Thessalonians are suffering. They are in trials because they believed God's word. As we saw last time, they were opposed because of their faith. But Paul sends Timothy to strengthen and encourage them in their faith. Paul reminds them that this is what Christians are destined for. And also he brings them back to mind that he's already told them that they were always going to suffer as Christians. And then notice verse 5. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you and that our labors might have been in vain. Paul linking back to his great desire, and he says, I sent to find out about your faith. So let's think back to verses 17 to 20 and see how they fit into this text here. So as we saw in verses 17 and 18, that Paul longs to see the Thessalonians, and he longs to see them because of verse 19 and 20. He wants to see them safe with Jesus on the last day. Then as we come into chapter 3, we see that Paul sent Timothy to find out about their faith. So what is the text saying? Paul longs to see them safe when Jesus returns. Therefore, he wants to find out about their faith. Why? Because what our faith is in dictates how we'll fare on the day of judgment. Therefore, it's clear that faith is the most important aspect of our lives. Let's think about that for ourselves this evening. Is our faith the most important thing in our lives? Think about it. Over the last few weeks, what have we spent the majority of our time on? What have we thought about most? What is it we put most emphasis on? Is it our families, our jobs, our cars, our health, our comfort? What is it we've put our priorities on? Of course, we live in a world and we are to enjoy those things and we can be busy, but is our faith something that shapes our lives? Because ultimately, our faith is what matters most. Maybe we're here tonight and we are somebody who needs to take our faith more seriously. Maybe today, you need to commit to giving yourself more over to Jesus, giving up your life to serve and follow him more, placing him at the forefront of our hearts and allowing him to shape every aspect of our lives. Our faith is what matters most because it will dictate where we'll spend eternity. If our faith is in anything other than Jesus, we have no hope. But if we place our faith in Jesus and him alone, we have nothing to worry about when this life is over. But faith not only dictates where we'll spend eternity, faith also dictates how we'll handle day-to-day life. Look back into verses 1 to 5 of chapter 3. Paul here outlines in verses 1 to 4 that they are under trials, and he mentions about their suffering. But why doesn't Paul go into detail about their suffering and go on and on about it? He basically just mentions that they are suffering and they knew that this would happen if they were Christians. It's almost like Paul isn't too concerned about their suffering. But that's not the case. Paul does care about their suffering. That's why he sends Timothy to strengthen and encourage them in the faith. But he sends Timothy to find out about their faith because Paul knows that our faith will define how we handle trials. If our faith is in Jesus plus comfort, then when comfort goes, we'll stop following God. If our faith is in Jesus plus a good life, then when life is tough, we'll stop following God. If our faith is in Jesus plus family, when family struggles occur, we'll stop following God. But if our faith is in Jesus alone, when trials come, we will struggle. We will have difficult times. We will have questions. But in our trials, we'll hold firm to Jesus because our faith is in him. He is the most important part of our life. Our faith will define how we handle trials. But notice also verse 5. Notice the phrase, "the tempter had tempted you." This is obviously a clear link to Satan, the one who seeks to tempt Christians away from Jesus. Possibly it be with doubts or pleasure or bitterness, anger, or whatever it is, Satan seeks to tempt Christians away from following Jesus. Notice 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, "This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." Notice also 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings." Because of Satan the tempter, Paul sought to find out about their faith, because again, Paul knows that our faith will dictate how we handle temptations. Can you see the two biggest hurdles of the Christian life? Trials and temptations are handled rightly or wrongly depending on what our faith is fixed on. Our faith will dictate where we spend eternity, but also it'll dictate how we handle trials and temptations. This is why Paul emphasizes the enormous importance of their faith. Paul wants to know about their faith because he knows it's the most important part of their lives. I wonder, as Christians, is that something we do? Just think about it. The most important part about your spouse, your children, your parents, your siblings, is their faith. Do you seek to find out how people are doing in the faith? Maybe that's something we need to do better, having more gospel conversations. Paul knew that conversion is only the start, and that's why he sought to find out about their faith. As believers, if we know somebody who claims to be a Christian, and we know them well, we shouldn't be content in that. We should seek to find out about their faith. But how do we do that? If you were Timothy and you were sent to find out about somebody's faith, what would you look for? Would you look for church attendance? Would you look for Bible knowledge? Would you look to see if they've been baptized? What would you look for? Notice what Timothy brings back to Paul in verse 6. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. To know whether somebody is going on well with the Lord is to seek to know what they make of Jesus. Is Jesus everything to them? What do they pin their hopes for eternity on? What are their goals in life? What truly matters to them? Knowing whether somebody is walking well with the Lord is what we should desire to find out. So I want to ask us all, myself included, this evening, are you concerned about the faith of others? If so, how are we going about helping others in the faith? Since if we do this, like Paul, we'll receive encouragement in our own faith as we help others grow. Look at verses 7, 8, and 9. Look at what the Thessalonians' faith means to Paul. Verse 7, in all Paul's trials and sufferings, he's been comforted because of their faith. Verse 8, Paul says, we really live now we know you are standing firm in the Lord. Think about the impact their faith has had on Paul. Let's think about some practical ways we can follow Paul's model. Think verse 6, Paul longs to see the Thessalonians. So as Christians, seek to spend more time together, get to know one another more. As Paul says, chapter 2, verse 8 of Thessalonians, share our lives and the gospel together. Also notice in verse 6, Paul wanted to seek to know how their faith was. So as believers, let's seek to do that. Let's seek more gospel conversations. And with those we trust, get to know each other and how we're doing in the faith, challenge sin, evangelism, and how our walk is with God, obviously in the right context and with the right person. This is how we can grow together in love and faith. We need each other. That's why God has put us all together as a people, not just individuals, but the body of believers seeking to grow together in the faith. Notice verse 9. Paul is thankful for his fellow believers. He prays for them. This is also what we need to be doing, praying for one another, praying for our brothers and sisters that they may grow in the faith and cling to the Lord Jesus. Prayer that they will hold firm in trials and temptations and that they'll be ready for the return of Jesus. Maybe this is what we could do better with our spouse, with our siblings, with our parents, Christian friends, to promote growth in faith. This is what we do as a church, but we can do this even more so. But this can only happen with the help of God. Notice the last part of this passage, verses 10 to 13. Verses 10 to 13, Paul's great vision through his prayer. Paul's great vision, verses 10 to 13. In verse 10, Paul again talks of longing to see them in person, and his desire to supply what is lacking in their faith. And then he fleshes that out in verses 11 to 13 in his prayer. Paul again longing to see these Thessalonians as he prays that he'll be able to see them, as we learn in verse 11. Here we get a summary of this whole passage in verses 12 to 13. Look at verses 12 to 13. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Paul prays for their love towards each other. He knows that ultimately it's God who gives love, and we need him to change our hearts. We need the Lord to come by the Holy Spirit to increase our love for one another. So look at what Paul prays. Just look at the wording. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else. And then look at how they should love each other, just as ours does for you. Paul wants the Thessalonians to love each other just like he's loved them. So how has Paul loved them? Paul has loved them in this passage by seeking to find out about their faith. He sought to encourage and strengthen them in their faith. This is Paul's vision for the church in Thessalonica. He wants the church to be together, helping one another grow in the faith, battling sin together, suffering together, and ultimately pointing each other to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wants the church not to be a social gathering, not to be a place we just tolerate each other. Paul wants the church to be a place where Christians truly love one another. And how do they do that? Notice verse 13. Paul wants them to, verse 12, love one another. And verse 13 says, may God do this so that your hearts are blameless at the return of Christ. Therefore, we get back to what we saw at the start. Loving one another means helping one another be ready for Christ's return. We certainly do love one another by caring for each other's struggles, family situations, work, and physical needs. But on the day when the Lord Jesus returns, it won't matter what our houses look like. It won't matter what our bank account looked like. It won't matter what car we had. It won't matter what job we did or how many holidays we enjoyed. The only thing that will matter about us is our faith. The only thing that matters is, will I meet Jesus as my Lord and Savior or as my judge? Let's be a people who prioritize our faith above everything and let it shape our lives. Let's be a people who say, Jesus is my King, not only with my lips, but also with our lives. For our spouses, children, parents, friends, what matters most about them is their faith, because their faith will determine where they stand on the day when Jesus returns. What is your main concern for your spouse, your children, your siblings, your parents, and your friends? Because on the day of judgment, it won't matter about our children's education, your siblings' job, your parents' comfort, or our friends' family. I'm certainly not saying these are unimportant. I'm just trying to emphasize the most important aspect of our life is our faith. If our faith is in Jesus, we have our most important need dealt with. Imagine on the day Jesus returns, the joy we'll have seeing each other safe in the arms of Jesus. Let's remind ourselves of that daily. As God's people living in the last days, we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus' return and remember that our faith is what matters most. And living in light of Jesus' return each and every moment, remembering that our faith is what matters most. Let me summarize as I close. We saw tonight that faith is what matters most because it'll dictate where we spend eternity and how we handle trials and temptations. We also saw that the faith of others is our responsibility and something we should seek to find out. Then we finally saw Paul's vision for the church is that we love one another as he loved them. Therefore, they'd help each other be ready for the return of Jesus. And now we're going to close with two songs, and both these songs call us together to be one, focused on the day of Jesus' return, fighting the good fight of faith together. Let's stand together and sing for God's glory.
Church to mine.
close with those last two verses. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Amen.